I know. Look, we literally just had like a great conversation about love from Sex with Pigeons.
Yeah, it went from how do bird anatomy work in sex to like what do I want in my future relationships?
Two girls, one cup. That's the next one.
Oh, my Lord. These are yours, aren't they?
Maybe.
It's silver Sharpie, I can
tell. Damn it. Well, I'm pretty sure I would be the only one that writes that anyway.
Two girls, one cup.
Have you seen it?
No.
Why not? Let's watch it right now.
Oh, please no.
No, actually, no. I would, even for the podcast, I would never want to watch
feel
that
like
again.
Honestly, it's one of those things where, like, the idea of it is enough. You don't need to know the
Do you
the
know what happens in it?
Isn't it just two girls, like, eat poop out of a cup?
I'm going to explain it to you real quick.
No, okay.
It's for the podcast.
Okay.
Hold on tight. Clutch your beer.
I'm it's holding
gonna be a,
on.
It's going to be a wild ride. Welcome to Boring People Podcast here in Portland, Oregon. Today is a special episode for me. My good friend Spider, that's obviously not her real name, my friend Catherine Liu, is here. She's passing through on her journey on the Pacific Crest Trail, which I was on a couple months ago. We met probably my first week. Actually, the night I met her, she got me very high, and I told a lot of embarrassing secrets to a bunch of people I didn't know. Spider is awesome. She got her trail name because she got bit by a black widow and had a large hole in her back, which was really fucking gross. She's actually had a lot of bad luck on the trail, but the bitch keeps going. So she's pretty amazing and so happy she's here today. Also, I've been off trail for about 2 months now, and another reason why this episode is kind of special to me, because, I realized how much I missed the trail and how much, I wish I wouldn't have gotten off so early. So that's been something that's been going back and forth in my mind for the last few months, especially being back here in a big city and living in civilization, which I'm happy to be back. It's nice to have a bed and things and food and whatnot, but I am really missing the simplicity of just having my pack and being out in the wilderness with some cool people. I am debating going back next year already, which seems kind of stupid. I don't know how much more I'll do, but the thought of just being out there for 2 months or 3 months again sounds magnificent. Less bullshit to put up with. And Tommy likes less bullshit. You know, when I got off trail, it wasn't because I was injured or because I was that over it. It was just hot, and I was really missing Portland, and I felt really motivated to get back and start working on other projects. And I felt like if I kept going, I would forget about those things and run out of money and have to live in my mama's house in Reading for another few months. And that sounds, well, not completely awful because she makes really good food. But I don't know. I'm almost 30. I don't need to be living at home anymore. That's sad. But yeah, it was kind of a tough decision. I cried about it a little bit, but cried a lot on the trail. Taught me a lot. Met a lot of incredible people And it's been really nice being back in Portland because a lot of those people are passing through. Bridge of the Gods is just about 45 minutes away. So I've had a lot of friends hitch and stay with me, which has made me feel really connected to the trail, even being back in society. Anyway, I'm going to stop bullshitting. We're going to talk more about trail here in this podcast. So get ready.
Well, your voice is a lot more soothing than mine. Mine's like a hate crime waiting to happen.
That's not
So.
true.
I'm here. Oh my God. I don't know if that picked up on the mics, but that's Felix. He's pretty much in the background of every podcast, just like banging around. Like, I like it though. It's more authentic. We are recording in my basement here in Portland, Oregon.
Also known as my bedroom.
Also, yeah. So my friend Spider from the trail is here, and I told her she's doing a podcast, and now that's what we're doing today. Got some beers by Ballast Point. Shout out in case you want to send us some.
That would be
like
lovely.
I said, no one's gonna listen to this though. So
no, this is delicious. Did I tell you about that time there was trail magic and Lagunitas donated beer to it?
What?
Yeah.
Where?
This was at Olali Lake. So like,
where's that? Is that in Oregon?
It is in Oregon. It's like 50 miles before Timberline if you're
going
north.
Oh, okay,
north.
Yeah, okay.
So it was like corporate-sponsored trail magic, which was kind of beautiful.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Wait, what? It was who? Lagunitas?
Lagunitas, yeah.
That's rad. Also, Crux Brewery came out with a PCT Porter. I have not tried it, and I believe they're like you. I think I could be wrong. I feel like I heard that they're donating the proceeds for that one to the PCTA, which would be really rad.
Mm-hmm.
Are you okay there? What's going on? Who is it?
A number I don't recognize, so we're going
to
ignore it.
Answer it and put it up to the microphone.
That is not.
Answer it. It'll be fun.
Okay.
Speakerphone.
Hello?
Hi. This is Mary from Orthopedic Specialist. Is this Kathy? Catherine Liu?
Yes, it is.
I am so sorry to bother you.
No, you're fine.
I figured your insurance out. We have to go through Cigna International.
Yep.
And I figured out both coverages, which is fine. But now I need to know if who is the are your parents together or separated?
They're together. My mom kept her maiden name.
Okay, so let's see. So your dad's would be primary because he's the oldest, and your mom would be secondary.
Yep.
Perfect. Okay, I've got it all set up.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, honey. You bet.
All right,
take
bye.
Care. Bye.
That was Mary from Northwest Orthopedic.
American healthcare system, y'all.
Love it. Your mom kept her maiden name?
It's actually a very Chinese thing to do.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So my mom's last name is Tong.
Okay.
T-A-N-G. And then my sister, myself, and my dad are all Liu, L-I-U.
And so kids typically take the father's last name then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely. But yeah, Liu is like the most common last name in China. It's like Smith.
It's L-I-U, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Although you'd be surprised how many times I've gotten L-U-I, and I'm like, it's three letters. Figure it out.
Do people say it differently, too?
Yeah. Well, I just say Liu, but technically it's Liu.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Not everybody can pronounce that, or they make it kind of nasally, and it turns into, like, Leo. it's supposed to be one syllable, so I'm like, I'd rather just make it easier for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's lots of Lou's or people who pronounce it Lou in like English speaking context. So
yeah.
It just makes it simpler.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, that they that was like a traditional thing for the woman to keep her last name.
That's what my mother has told me. So
she's like, I just didn't want that last name, actually. She just made that up.
But it's funny because every time I do something that like she won't approve of or something, she's like... That's your father's genes. It's because you're a Liu and I'm a Tong. I'm like, okay, Mom.
Okay. Who do you get along better with, your mom or your dad?
Probably my mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Growing up, both of my parents traveled quite a bit when we were, you know, in school and things like that. My dad more so than my mom. So I think I just grew up with my mom. more than my dad, and she calls me her soulmate. So, like, you know, and just in a way that, like, we understand each other better than anybody else.
Yeah.
Which is really special to me.
That's precious.
I know.
Aww.
I miss my mom.
Miss mommy.
And her birthday was yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How old did she turn? Would she kill you if you say?
54?
Oh, she's young.
I'll show you a picture. She looks way too good for
She probably looks like she's 30.
I'm very proud of how beautiful my mother is, actually. I remember being...
And you're probably going to look like that till you're fucking 60.
That's kind of why.
Yeah.
I'm like, my mom
is
so beautiful.
So show me how good you're going to look for the next 30 years.
And it's really... Look at this.
Oh my... What?
Right?
Jesus Christ. She's beautiful.
I know.
She literally could pass for like 40.
I know.
What?
I know.
Jealous.
Thank you, Mom, for the jeans.
My parents look like my fucking grandparents. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It is funny, though. My dad, I think my dad looks his age, but he, like, I think just because my little sister's so young, she's going to be 20 in December.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just because there's that big of an age gap, they, like, usually think, like, my little sister is, like, dad's, like, granddaughter.
Yeah.
Which is really funny. Like, I remember this is years ago too, so he must have been in his 40s, but we went to Popeye's to get dinner, which mm-hmm. like I'm embarrassed. Maybe I'll have to edit that out. but we went to go to Popeye's and we're standing there and I'm with my dad and my little sister and the lady's like, "Oh, would you like do you want your senior discount?" I know, and he's like not even 50 yet at this point. I'm pretty sure. And he didn't hear, so I was just like, "Yeah, just give him the senior discount." And then so when we walked out, he saw on the receipt, he was like, "Senior discount? What the fuck?" I was like, "You should have been listening."
That's funny. Do you want to hear something gross?
Oh, always.
Well, it's not gross, but it's related. My dad was in the hospital for something that I can't remember. This was in China, I think. Nope. This was in the U.S. And this was at a point in time where my mom was living in Shanghai and he was over here. And so my sister and I went to, like, go get him, and they called me Mrs. Liu as if I were married to him.
I think you told me this.
Oh, my gosh. It was. Yeah. I felt so gross and, like, violated because this is, I don't know, this is my father.
I think we talked about this that day. Mm-hmm. We were sipping tequila right when we got back on trail in Northern California.
Oh, you mean at, like, 10 a.m.?
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah, barely. I think we talked about this, though, and I mentioned one of my good friends is adopted from Korea by a white family.
Mm-hmm.
And so she'll go out to dinner with her dad and people will think that it's like this older man with this young, like, Asian girl.
Right.
When she's like, "Ew, that's my fucking dad. That's disgusting."
I know.
Like, "Oh, that's so weird."
Yeah. That was one of the, my sister and just looked at me and she was like horrified.
Yeah.
I was like, bleh,
bleh. Oh my God. This is the best would you rather ever. Are you ready?
Uh-oh.
Would you rather... watch your parents have sex every day for the rest of your life, or just join in once to stop
it?
No!
Oh my God, Tommy!
Someone asked me that a couple weeks ago, and I was like, "That is the hardest one," but I'd probably just watch because.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you'd have to.
It was funny because there's this like these cute girls across the bar, and one of them was like, "Well, what if you just like could like suck on a toe?"
No!
And I was like, "Oh, no." That's so disgusting. But I thought it was really funny.
Yeah, that's terrible.
But I came to the conclusion, definitely watch.
Definitely watch.
Yeah.
There's just no way you could live with yourself the other way. Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Mm-mm. How do we move on from this?
I was luckily, like, I feel like I have so many friends who, like, were, like, walked in on their parents or heard their parents. And, like, I've, like, never once, thank God. For all I know, they only had sex the four times
that they bore children.
Yeah, exactly. That's all I care about. It is cute though. My parents are very they've got, you know, obviously they've been married 36 years. Yeah, 36 years. They just had their 36th wedding anniversary on July 18th, which is also my dad's birthday. They got married on his 21st birthday.
Oh,
which,
my God.
I know. I think he only did that so he'd remember their anniversary though. But what was the point I was making with this story? Oh, they're still really cute, though. Like, when they have, you can tell, like, the good parts of the relationship. They, like, my dad will be, like, very physical with her and, like, I feel like we always grew up with that. Mm-hmm. Like him be very, like them being very affectionate and like cute. And I really like that.
That is cute.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah, that's one thing that my parents don't have. They're very much more like a brother-sister relationship in the ways that I've watched them. Like they're mm-hmm. a united front. They're always supporting each other. But like I think I've seen my parents hold hands like twice.
Oh, really?
And I've never seen them kiss. Ever in my entire life.
Do you think they're just people that are private about that anyway, though? Like, do you think it's...
Yeah, I think that, and I think, like, from a traditional Chinese culture standpoint, being super affectionate isn't really a thing you do in public. And... But it also made me realize what I want in my own relationship, which is very different from what they have. Like, yeah. I want something super physical.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
I feel that.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Guess we're going for the bowl of topics.
No, that was a good conversation, but so I made a bowl of topics.
Mm-hmm. We should probably come up with a better name than bowl of topics.
Okay, what should we call it?
I don't know.
Okay, well, let's sit and think about that. But for now, we have a bowl of topics where we wrote topics and folded them up and put them in.
Topic Tupperware.
Topic Tupperware. Oh, I love it.
Alliteration.
Love it. We put them in some Tupperware. So Topic Tupperware time. It's a new segment. If we ever feel like there's a lull in the conversation, we're just going to pull out of this topic Tupperware. So
is it me?
Spider, you go first.
Oh, man.
Nervous?
Kind of.
White privilege.
I hate you. It's actually beer, which we kind of already talked about.
Oh, we did. Well, we can talk more about beer.
We can
I like
talk
beer.
More about beer.
I mean, I don't. So I like beer, but I don't drink too much of it because it makes me really full. But I do like it a lot.
Right.
Like I like reds. I like pale ales. I'm starting to like IPAs because I live in Oregon, so I feel like I have to drink it to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
I've recently discovered gozas, which are really good.
Ooh.
I know, getting fancy.
That is very fancy.
Yeah. What about you? What do you like? Who are your favorite breweries?
I mean, I know more about Michigan beer than anything
else. Is there any famous, not famous, I mean, yeah, like well-known Michigan breweries?
So Grand Rapids is a very well-known beer city. It's on the west side of the Lower Peninsula of Michigan. They have Founders, which is probably the most widely distributed Michigan brewery.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's Bell's, which is really popular, but it's not in Grand Rapids, and Shorts. Those are the three probably most widely distributed Michigan breweries, but you won't find them here because there's so much good Oregon beer that they probably just don't care.
Oh my God. There's a brewery in Southeast called Base Camp, and they make a s'more stout, and it's the most delicious thing I've ever had in my life.
Nice.
It's pretty close to Loyal Legion, too. It's only a few blocks up.
Maybe we should.
It's
amazing.
I used to
do this thing when I bartended. I called it a super stout because I really love stouts. I just think that like the coffee and chocolate undertones to it they work really well.
Yeah.
So I would take a pint glass and then put a little bit of every single stout we had on draft, just like a mixed stout beer.
That would be really good.
Which sounds kind of blasphemous, but it was almost always delicious because you'd get like cherry notes and vanilla notes and all these different things from all these different beers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer wine more. I like wine.
I don't know anything about wine.
I mean, I don't know much about it. I just like wine better. I'd like to learn more, but it seems like that's... I think there's just, like, too much to learn.
Right.
And I would have to, like, dress better.
to make more money to be a part of that scene.
Yeah, I feel like it's, like, a very snobby industry, and I just don't know if I'd fit in well with those people.
That's okay.
But I like to... I mean, if I buy a $15 bottle of wine, I'm like, damn, I'm fucking fancy.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I feel pretty damn good about myself. I'm like, oh, it's so fancy when it's like only like aged 2 years or whatever, or barreled 2 years. What do you say? I don't know the terms.
Right. That's why I think I like drinking beer more, because I feel more down to earth and related to the people who drink beer. But
yeah, there's like, I like how there's like beer people.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, like, wine people, which are, like, beer people are a lot more, like, laid back and cool.
Yeah.
Kind of like, I feel like there's, like, whiskey people and then, like, scotch people.
Okay.
Like, scotch people are just going to sit and sip scotch. You know, mm-hmm. you're not going to take shots of scotch. You know, whereas whiskey people are, they're either, yeah, they're going to be a little bit crazier and usually like alcoholics. Not all of them, you know, because there are nice whiskeys. And I like to sip certain whiskeys. Mm-hmm. But scotch people are going to be more like the wine people. Whereas so, yeah. whiskey people are going to be more like the beer people, if that makes any sense.
I mean, that does make sense because I'm a whiskey and beer person.
Yeah, and then there's tequila people, and that's just, or even worse, vodka people.
Oh, my gosh. Ugh. The absolute worst.
It's like having sex with your parents.
Stop!
It's awful. Yeah, no.
Vodka's garbage.
Vodka is vodka so garbage. It's so terrible. It's disgusting. There's no, like, rum people, though. I never meet rum people. I feel like they'd be fun.
Maybe.
We should start a cult. Anyway, cool. That was a fun topic, so let's go to the next one.
Your turn.
See, it's funny. We go on little tangents.
So many tangents.
This one says, kids, yes or no?
Oh,
that's
Aaron.
That's cute. And it has Felix's little mountains he drew.
Mountains, or letters, or 345.
So cute. kids, for myself, I don't know that. Right now is no. Mm-hmm. But living with Felix has been really fun. And then my friend Lauren brought her baby over yesterday. I held him for like an hour, and he didn't even cry.
That baby.
Oh my god, he didn't even cry. And he was just—I was making him laugh, and I was like, "Oh my god, this is so cute." But I'm like, and I know as soon as they shit, I'm like, "Okay, take it."
Right. You know, like
so for right now, no. But who knows? Maybe. Mm-hmm. We'll see eventually.
I definitely want kids. Not now. But I know that I want them.
Yeah. I feel like 35 would be a good age.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Well, I mean, I'm turning 30 soon. 35 is not that far away. Who knows where the fuck I'll be?
Yeah.
Probably like dead in a ditch somewhere.
Oh, stop it.
One night of tequila.
One night of tequila. No, I definitely want them. I feel like being on trail and having all of these family dynamics with people around me, I can definitely see my maternal instincts emerging.
Yeah.
Which is a weird thing for me because I convinced myself years ago that I never wanted kids. And now it's like, oh, definitely do.
Yeah.
That biological clock is tick, tick, ticking.
Come on. Would you ever adopt kids?
I would.
Yeah.
I actually really feel compelled to adopt from China because I feel like you only ever see white people adopt babies from other countries, and I don't know, it makes me sad, and there are so many, you know, orphans in China, especially girls, and it feels personal to me, and I think that that's something that I would want to do later in my life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would definitely want to adopt from different countries.
Really?
Oh, of course. I mean, like, I mean obviously adoption isn't my only way to have kids, obviously, but I think, like, who is it this time?
It's the same person. Can I hang up?
Yeah, that's fine. She already got her time on the show.
Yeah, I know.
Like Mary from Northwest Orthopedics.
Yeah.
Like, fuck you, Mary.
I'm trying to be on a
She's not
going
right to listen
now.
To this, right?
No.
She's like our biggest fan. Oh my god, I love that podcast.
I love boring people.
I masturbate to it every
Stop.
Night.
Oh no.
What was I saying?
We were talking about children.
Oh, children. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, so for me, it's like I know the only way adopting isn't the only way you can have kids, obviously. I just don't feel like I'd ever want that second or third person, because I would never want to be a single father. But I wouldn't want that third, because my mom's always like, you should have your own kids, like get like a surrogate, like get a good friend. I'm like,
oh, wow.
No, I don't want that extra person involved.
Right.
I want that child to be mine, like me and whoever I'm with. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want that third person. I feel like that'd be like too much. And obviously it would, like, as long as a kid's loved, it doesn't matter how many parents it has. I know that. But I think I'm just selfish.
I think that's very honest and real. I think that's something I'm trying to learn for myself as well, is like I pride myself on being open-minded and liberal, but in some ways traditional roles are comforting or still things that I prefer, and I think that's fine. Like, I can totally... What is that saying? Okay, so...
Give a man a fish?
No, it's...
No, I'm just kidding.
It's not a saying. It's a quote from Leslie Knope's... Not Leslie Knope.
Leslie Knope of Parks and Rec.
Amy Poehler's autobiography, where she says,
oh, okay,
good for you, not for me. And,
oh,
like,
yeah,
that's, like, the mindset that I try to have about, you know, all the different ways there are to be a human. So, for me, it's like, yeah, there are people who have surrogates. Yeah, there are people who do these things. But for me, you know, when I have a family, I want it to be me and one other person. I think that's,
yeah,
fine. You can be open-minded about other people doing things their way and then still,
yeah,
want something very traditional and not have that be.
There was a gay couple I knew in San Francisco, and they have two girls, and they're best friends. They're a lesbian couple. Like, one of the guys and one of the girls had a kid together, and then the other guy and the other girl had a kid together, but they have equal custody. So,
mm-hmm,
they have two sets of parents, a lesbian couple and a gay couple.
Right.
Which is super cool.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. But
right.
But I just know for me, like, I would be so selfish with my child.
Oh, of,
like,
course.
I was, like, I want it to be only be mine.
In many ways, I think that having a kid is just an expression of ego.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is my DNA, must get passed on.
And I see, I don't want my own DNA because, holy shit, that child, I would kill it.
Stop.
I wouldn't actually kill it. That's off the radar. but, you know, but I just, like, know I was such a little shit as a child that,
mm-hmm,
I was like, I know I would be like, this is karma coming back to bite me in the ass.
Right.
And then my parents would just be like, yep, told you so. And they'd be like, you deserve this. And I think that's mostly why. It's funny because I have three other siblings who can all go breed, you know,
mm-hmm,
naturally and, like, not even think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yet my mom especially wants me to have my own kids.
Huh.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, it's way harder for me to do that. I, like, got to pay, like, money. I can't just, like, knock someone up.
I mean, you could. It just wouldn't be...
Yeah, it
for you.
There might be some crying involved. Heavy amounts of alcohol. At that point, I don't even know if my dick would work. So, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, my mom has been telling me to have kids for like 5 years now. My mom is one of those creepy people who, like, always creeps on kids in public places. Like, she just wants to be a grandma so bad.
My mom, too.
It's just like,
oh,
mom,
God,
you can't, like, you don't know them. You need to stop.
Yes.
Chill.
Stop petting that kid.
Like,
you know,
stop smiling. You look like a total creep. But she just wants to be a grandma so bad. She wants babies in her life.
My parents want to be grandkids so bad. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, my mom came to bring me back to Portland. By the way, those little things look like dead fetuses in the corner.
Oh, my Lord.
That is so creepy. Sorry.
Is that just insulation?
Yeah, that's just insulation, but it literally looks like dead little... Oh my God, look at this one.
Why is it flesh colored?
I don't know. It looks like dead little fetuses, though. I don't like it.
Well, there's that.
Speaking of kids.
Creepy dolls. Okay.
Speaking of kids. there's dead fetuses in my basement.
Uh-oh.
Also off the radar.
This will be a fun episode.
This is
going to
be a great
edit.
Episode. I love it already. It's awesome. It's wonderful. What were we talking about, though? About
your parents wanting to have grandchildren.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And so my mom brought me back here and met Fleeks for like an hour and was texting
wow.
me like a week ago, like, if Aaron ever wants like to get away for the week, like, I'll take Fleeks for a week. I'm like, he'd probably freak out. He doesn't know you.
All right, you met him once.
Yeah, she's like, I'll just tell him I'm your mom. I'm like, yeah, well, that'll make it worse. No, just kidding. Fleeks loves me.
Fleeks is very cute.
Yeah, he's a cute kid. I think I was very similar to him as a kid. I think that's why. We hit it off. Yeah, yeah. She's like, I won't take. She wants grandkids so bad.
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad for her. That's why she has so many dogs.
It'll happen.
Yeah, it'll happen one day. I want some nieces and nephews too to see if I actually want my own kids.
Right.
You know,
just to be the cool uncle for a little
yeah,
while.
Yeah, cute gay uncle. Oh
of
my
course.
God.
Yeah, and then when they poop, not mine.
Yeah.
Take it away.
See ya. Well, this is one of my favorite stories. Is with my little sister. I was probably like 12 or 13 and I was babysitting her. And so she's 10 years younger than me. So she was probably like, you know, 3 or something at the time. So at that point she had been like potty trained, but it was very recent. And my parents had gone for like an hour. like not even that long, because I was only 13. And she shits in her underwear. I'm like,
does your sister listen to your podcast?
She probably does. She knows this. She really knows this story. We tell this story all the time. No. She'll laugh. She'll laugh. She's got a good sense of humor. So I'm like, God damn it. Like, all right, here we go. So I take her outside and I was like, drop your pants. And I get the hose and I make her bend over and I just squirt her down with
I hosed her down
oh with cold
goodness.
Water. So she's holding her ass cheeks, bending over and crying as I'm like squirting her with cold water. Cause I was like,
Tommy.
I am not changing this shit. Those are good times.
You'll be a great dad.
I think I'd be a good dad. I mean, now I would change a diaper. I'd still probably gag or like throw up on my child a couple times, but I'd get used to it probably, right?
That's
Have you ever changed a diaper?
I haven't.
I don't think I've changed a diaper either, actually.
Nope.
Pretty sure I haven't. I think I would remember that.
Probably.
Yeah. Remember that one time I threw up on your baby?
All right. Tupperware time.
Uh-oh. White privilege.
Sex with pigeons. Please explain.
Oh, that wasn't mine.
It wasn't?
No, that was Aaron's.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I don't really have a lot to say about that.
I'm just kidding. That was mine.
You little.
I like how you believed me for a little bit.
I was like, okay. Why is this a topic that you'd like to discuss?
You can't ask about the topic. You just got to talk about the topic.
Sex with pigeons. I've never had sex with pigeons. That's all I have to say about this topic.
I don't know. There was a rumor going around on Trail that you did, so that's why.
Ooh.
I put it in there.
Pretty sure every rumor on Trail was started by you. Just for shits and gigs.
And shade. Just like the guy who butt chugged his water.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That one.
There's some other ones. I don't want to say people's names, though. I don't know. I just thought maybe you'd have a story about it.
What makes you think that?
Have you ever seen pigeon sex? Pigeons can have sex with pigeons?
I believe that. I've never seen pigeons.
Like, I wonder how
dirty.
They'd have sex.
I don't know. How do birds in general have
sex? Actually, that's a good question, because I can't see a bird being from behind.
No, their legs are all like spindly.
Do
and
they
stuff.
Scissor?
That can't be it. What does a bird penis look like?
Ooh.
What does a bird vagina look like?
Ooh.
How does this work?
Okay.
Because they always say the birds and the bees, but I don't actually know how birds
I'm
or
going
bees
on Google.
Reproduce.
I'm going on Google. How do birds have sex? Hey, you know, this is going to be a good podcast because people are going to listen. They're going to learn something.
Science.
Okay. Unlike mammals, most male birds don't have penises.
They don't have penises.
Instead, both male and female birds have what's known as cloaca. C-L-O-A-C-A.
Okay.
Cloaca? Closa? I don't know.
Cloaca?
Ooh, maybe that's the cloaca. That sounds nice. It's an internal chamber that ends in an opening, and through this opening, a bird's sex organs, testes or ovaries, discharge sperm or eggs. And it's a cute little picture of two birds kissing.
Okay.
I want to see them fuck.
They said so all birds have vaginas? This is what I heard.
Oh, here's the opening.
I'm sorry.
It's just a circle around.
Oh, my Lord.
Like a bird vagina.
Okay.
There it is. Oh, wait. I guess they do kind of.
That is bird missionary.
If you're listening to this, look up bird sex. Oh, interesting. Okay, they're kind of on top of each other, but literally on top, not like from behind, though.
They're like perched on the other's back.
Yeah, okay, that's really strange. I mean, you gotta get it done somehow, so whatever.
Hmm.
Oh, and then there's two bees going at it.
Oh, wow. That's
Let's
gonna haunt
get it
me a
on.
Little.
Raw animal sex.
Oh my
That's
goodness.
What it says. Raw animal sex.
The internet.
Love it. Love it. I mean, without it, we wouldn't know how birds had sex. So
this is true.
Here we go.
Back in the day, you'd have to.
Oh, here's like a diagram of chickens going at it. There we go. Oh, this is actually kind of interesting. Here, look at that.
Oh. Huh. That's a really extensive... This vagina looks like a small intestine. I'm confused. A little bit.
I don't know much about vaginas.
Should we move on?
Sorry. Okay. Okay. We're off bird sex.
I don't know much
Have
about
Have you ever sexted?
Have I ever sexted?
Yeah.
Define sexted. Like sent a naked picture?
Like sexted. Like dirty talks texting.
I'm terrible at that.
Has anyone... what's the funniest thing someone's ever... Like, has someone ever tried to like sext you, but it ended up being like really... You're like, oh...
No, but sometimes I would get, like, unsolicited dick pics on Snapchat.
From who? Just from people you knew?
No, from, like, one person that I used to be intimate with.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it wasn't, like... I mean, I don't know if people know this. I think this has been said enough, but, like, dick pics don't really work, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they're more for the dick haver than the dick receiver.
Yeah, it's more like for just, like... validation,
something like that.
Yeah,
like that doesn't get me going personally.
Yeah, yeah. Like, tell me you're gonna cook me like dinner,
right?
Yeah, smooth talk a mm-hmm. little bit for sure.
But people still do it. What can you
That's
do
true. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's different for women,
probably
straight women.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, tell me about some dick pics.
Oh, I mean, I'm just saying, if someone sends
sent.
Me a dick pic and it's a nice dick, I'm like, well, now I'm thinking about your dick.
Really?
Not all the time, but...
I know. No, but this is so interesting to me, because we always say that men are more visual about, like,
yeah.
being sexual, whereas women are more emotional or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. I'm finding... I mean, now I'm... I mean, that's... I mean, I don't think I've gotten one in a long time, but now I'm finding myself to be more, like, emotional
right.
about dating and... those things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, I haven't ever since I gotten back, I haven't like wanted to like just like hook up just to hook up.
When's the last time you had like a one night stand?
Ooh, this is a good one. Last time I had a one night stand was shit. It's been a while. Well, I guess on the trail in Lake Isabella. And then the next day I found out he was only 20.
Well, that's fine.
I know, but I'm like almost 30 and I felt weird about it. I mean, I don't feel that weird about it because he was cute and I was drunk, so.
How much do you think age matters when you're
dating? For me, it matters a lot.
Really?
Because I want someone to be on the same level as me, and I know I would never date someone in their younger 20s because you grow up so much through your 20s. And I mean, I do believe there are some people that are meant for each other or at least can make things work and have the right chemistry regardless of age.
Mm-hmm.
However, I've never met like a 21-year-old at this age. I met someone like 21 or 22 that I'm like, oh my God, I just have to be with you.
Right.
You know, I'm like, you're cute and I would, you know, let you suck my dick. But but. I'm not, there's like no one I've been like, oh my God, I like want to spend all this time with you and like get to know you and like be
right.
intimate, like be in more intimate with you beyond sex.
Mm-hmm.
I just, I don't know. But I do believe there are people that can, you know, have that huge age gap and for some reason they make it work or they're, what's the good word for it?
Have chemistry?
Have chemistry.
Are compatible?
There's a different word I was looking for, but whatever. Yeah, that works too.
Okay.
yeah, but I don't know. Even like 25, I'm like,
that's how old I am.
Yeah, it's different though. You're a woman.
I know.
You're a woman, so you can date someone like 40 and it'd be fine.
Well, that's the thing I've realized in this past year or so is like the people that I've been interested in have been generally considerably older.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had a relationship with somebody who was 12 years older than me.
Okay.
And that didn't even feel weird at all.
Well, it doesn't. I mean, like, you're extremely mature. Not even for you. I mean, most women who are 25 are pretty mature.
Right.
But I'm just saying, like, it's also the way you hold yourself. And
it was honestly pretty liberating because I feel like in college I would try to have relationships with people who were my age, and I was just like, you're just not there. We're not on the same
dude,
page.
That's how I feel. Like, that's why I'm saying, like, I can't even date a dude that's like 25, 26. Also, because I think about it in the sense of like, shit, this is why when I was 25, 26, people that were 28, 29 didn't want to date me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know? And now that I'm like, it's funny because now that I'm 29, I think like, I keep forgetting I'm almost 30. So like when I go to date someone, they're like, oh, I'm 31, 32. I'm like, oh, well, you're still like older than me. And I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like almost 30.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm still kind of in the mentality of like, oh, I'm 25, 26. I'm like, no, fuck. I'm going to be 30 in like 2 months.
Right.
But I prefer to date someone more like my age or older. I haven't actually dated too many men that were older than me. I think the oldest person I've actually ever dated was maybe like a couple years older than me. Like
really?
Maybe no more than 5.
Huh.
I would like to date someone maybe like 40 just to like see how it goes at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's been nice to just like stop. I've stopped thinking about that.
Yeah.
Like, oh man. 35, that's so old, but it's like that maturity level is so much more attractive to me than somebody who's my
oh yeah well someone
which is a little dismissive, but you know, feel free to prove me wrong, world.
And I think people in their 30s are more emotionally in tune. They know what they want a little bit more, and they're willing to express it because they're like, I'm running out of time, so I'm gonna say I want you or I don't want you.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than like, well, I just have some things going on right now, and I'm, like, really focusing on myself. It's like, fuck you. Like, don't come up with excuses. Just say you don't want to date me.
Yeah.
That's will hurt my feelings so much less than you making shit up. Which I've been there. I've totally made shit up a million times.
We've all done
it. You know, because it's like, for you, it's easier just, or not you in general, but, like, it's so much easier to be like, hey, you know, I'm just working on myself right now, and I just don't think I can, like, go through with this relationship or, like, you know, continue to like make things work or spend time with you, because it, you know, it's, you feel bad, you don't want to hurt someone's feelings, when really it's just like, just fucking say what's up.
Mm-hmm.
So be like, hey, I just don't feel a connection with you.
Right.
Like, it's been fun and you're a nice person and I've enjoyed our time together, but like, I think I need something different.
Yes. And that's great.
It's so hard to hear.
Of course. I think the hard part is when you hear that, because that's honest, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you say you don't feel a connection with somebody, it's almost harder because it's like, oh, I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
And you don't have to do anything. There's plenty of guys I have dated who have been magnificent. Like, they're really mature. They got great jobs. They're, you know, the way they treat people is, I love, you know, they're very genuine and kind. Like, you know, picture perfect. But if you don't feel something, you don't feel something. You can't force it just because they have these qualities that you want in someone. There's got to be that, like, one little thing that draws you to someone.
Right.
You know? And so, I don't know. Love and all that is very interesting to me. I've been single. I've been single for 10 years. I've dated people, obviously, for, like, a month here, a couple weeks there, maybe 2 months at the longest.
What's been your longest relationship?
In my 20s? Or in general?
Life.
Like, 9 months when I was 16. So, I totally don't count that.
Okay.
Because that's literally like half my life ago.
Mm-hmm.
Completely different. You know, I was 16 years old.
Right.
It also just come out. I would like, when I was dating him, I like came out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I just don't count that. But, and then I've dated, and I've obviously like, I've dated, you know, tons of people in my 20s, but not like anyone actually so serious that I would like, you know, be like, hey, you like have to meet my parents and we have to do the whole like thing where I meet your parents and I don't know.
Right.
And there's been guys I've dated who are like friends before who've like met my parents because it like wasn't a big deal at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But no one, just no one that I felt like I had to be with. Otherwise, I wasn't going to like be able to like go on for the next few months or I don't know.
Yeah, that's also not so fun sometimes.
No, I know. But I also like, I feel like you need to experience that to know that the next person that comes around is better for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, which sucks. Like, I don't want to, like, shit, I can go on, like, 3 dates with someone and they're like, hey, I'm not feeling it. I'm like, oh, that sucks. Like, I feel like a piece of shit now. But I'm over it in, like, a week.
Yeah.
You know? But I feel like you need, I don't know, I feel like we all need to experience some sort of heartbreak to feel like this next person that comes along that makes you feel even better than that person before did. You're like, holy shit, how can I feel this connection to this person? I thought that was my like peak. I forgot where I read this, but I read a quote somewhere that was like, you should always love yourself more than you love your partner, which sounds ridiculous, mm-hmm. but in the sense that like you should also know your worth when it comes to having a partner.
Of course.
Which totally makes sense. Like you should know what you deserve, because only when you recognize your value mm-hmm. and what you can give to someone else, you could accept that back from them.
Right.
And love them to your fullest.
And I think
which I think is like really beautiful, and
it's great and it's healthy.
Yeah.
I think the trouble with that is we have all of these grand notions about love that we wanted to sweep us off our feet and feel like we can't live without it. And then we have all of these stories and these movies that emphasize the idea that romantic love is like the thing to attain in your life to make it worthwhile, to make it story worthy. So yeah, it's hard to like balance those things, because absolutely we all want to live our own grand love story, but at the same time we have to take care of ourselves. And how do we do that?
Yeah,
I think about this all the time.
Actually on trail, I mean I wasn't on trail as long as you, but 2 months was a long time for me. I thought a lot about love and like relationships when I was on trail.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like that was my time to be like, when I go back to the city, how do I want to present myself when it comes to dating? Because I feel like for such a long time, after coming off the trail, I realized like before the trail, I was very insecure in myself. Which I don't think that's something I put out there. But looking back on the people I dated, I know like there's definitely times I was like, wow, I've made myself look really like stupid and insecure in that relationship.
Okay.
And now it's just, I don't know, it's kind of freeing to know like I can date people and I can really like them, but I'm not going to like obsess over like a text message they send and it doesn't mm-hmm. sound sweet enough, or like the fact that they only wanted to get one drink that night and had to go home. Like, I'm not going to obsess over those things, because it's like, they don't want to date me. It's their fucking loss.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Of course.
I'm awesome. No, just kidding.
No. That's you shouldn't be kidding about that.
But I do feel like I've waited so long that when I meet someone that is really great for me, I know I'm going to be, like, such a fucking awesome partner. Like, I mean, I want to be in a monogamous relationship right now. I don't know if that's how I'm always going to feel the rest of my life, because I know mm-hmm. monogamy is just something that is set up by religion. But right now, that's what I want. And I know like I can always be loyal and faithful, and I'm very good at communicating.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're listening to this, my Instagram handle, you could DM
Hit
me.
Him up.
DM this D. Just kidding.
No, you're not. Say your Instagram handle.
Well, they should know it if they're listening.
This is true.
It's Tommy Corey Photo.
There you go.
Or for the podcast, Boring People PDX. How you doing on beer?
Ooh, almost done.
Should I grab one more?
Sure, why not?
Cool. And we're back with part two of Mary from Northwest Orthopedics. Dude, we should get her on the podcast.
We could do that.
Can you call her?
She
no,
left
just kidding.
Her voicemail, but
you're like, hey, do you
want to
be on this podcast, Mary from Northwest Orthopedics?
Basically, she just wants to make sure that she can bill my insurance company. By the way, the American healthcare system, real fucked.
Oh, let's not get into that.
Let's not,
We've been doing so well up till now. Kind of want to pull another
topic.
Wait, was that
Tupperware?
Your?
Well, I
did all that
it.
Just come off sex with pigeons?
Yeah, we went from
okay.
sex with pigeons
topic
to
Tupperware.
Like actual human love.
Wow.
You know?
Topic Tupperware is lit.
It's lit.
It's so good.
So lit.
By the way, I can't take credit for this idea.
That's okay.
My friend Lauren, who was going to do the podcast with me, but she's too busy. And plus. And I also have this thing where if I want to get something done, I got to do it myself. She'll be a guest host eventually when she has time. This is her idea. So I'm just stealing it from her. But it's a great idea. Thanks, Laura.
It is a great idea.
Dude, I know. Look, we literally just had like a great conversation about love from Sex with Pigeons.
Yeah, it went from how do bird anatomy work in sex to like what do I want in my future relationships?
Two girls, one cup. That's the next one.
Oh, my Lord. These are yours, aren't they?
Maybe.
It's silver Sharpie, I can
tell. Damn it. Well, I'm pretty sure I would be the only one that writes that anyway.
Two girls, one cup.
Have you seen it?
No.
Why not? Let's watch it right now.
Oh, please no.
No, actually, no. I would, even for the podcast, I would never want to watch
feel
that
like,
again.
Honestly, it's one of those things where, like, the idea of it is enough. You don't need to know the
Do you
the
know what happens in it?
Isn't it just two girls, like, eat poop out of a cup?
I'm going to explain it to you real quick.
No, okay.
It's for the podcast.
Okay.
Hold on tight. Clutch your beer.
I'm holding on.
It's going to be a wild ride. So it starts off really soft and easy. There's, like, some nice piano music in the background, and it's these two chicks, and they're just making out. And then about 20 seconds in, it's bam! It goes right to this girl's asshole, and she's just shitting into a cup, just, like, going for it. And then they start eating it, and they're like, like, with their tongues, which is, like, really gross.
Tommy, this is graphic. You're going to lose listeners.
No, that's fine. So they start eating it. I know. My first two episodes are really serious. I'm glad that.
And now now it's two girls, one cup.
Two girls, one cup. Hold on, baby. And then they start eating it, like swallowing it. And then they puke it back up into the cups and into each other's mouth. And then they eat it again. And it's just, it's fucking filthy. I mean, filthy is not even the
Did
right
word. Did you watch
word.
The whole thing?
Be
honest with us.
Tried to watch the whole thing, but it was a lot of like covering my eyes, like a scary movie, like where I like want to watch but I can't,
like a
but
car crash,
but I have to like
look away,
but I have
but
to, you know, like I covering my eyes but I'm like kind of like moving my fingers a little bit so mm-hmm. I can see what's happening. Oh man, it was a big old mess.
Understatement.
Baby made a big old mess.
Wait, okay, so what kind of porn do you normally watch when you're not watching Two Girls One Cup?
Ooh, that's good. Gay porn.
Okay. That would make sense.
Yeah.
That would be relevant to
yeah.
Like,
I mean,
life.
Or do you want more like more specifically? Like fisting?
I'm just curious.
Or
I feel like people don't talk enough about like what kind of porn they enjoy or masturbation or the kind of kink that they pursue. Or
okay,
whatever.
Here. I'll give you my favorite kind of gay porn.
Let's hear it.
It's nothing like too weird. I'm not going to watch. I was kidding about fisting porn. I just honestly.
Is
fisting,
that a thing dudes like to do? To each other?
They literally make this tub. I think we've talked about it on a podcast before, too.
Fisting part two with
Fisting part
Tommy
two.
Corey.
With Mary from Northwest Orthopedics. Which hole do you like to be fisted in?
Oh, Lord. No. Answer the question.
So, yeah, they make, literally, they make this
Who's
big.
They?
I don't know, gay people. They make this huge tub. This company makes a huge tub. It's called Boy Butter, and it's literally just thing of lube, but it's like buttery lube. It's probably just Crisco. They probably just put it in nice packaging, but it's literally a tub. It looks like, I can't believe it's not butter, that you put your fist in and then just go, rawr! Yeah. It's
no warm-up, just
no. Rawr! I mean, I'm sorry. You've probably got to warm up to having a fist in your ass.
I don't get
how a dick isn't enough for your asshole.
Maybe if you're looser in that area.
But, like, why? But you have to get loose. You're not just born loose.
Honestly, you're asking a question that I really have no experience
with. Yeah, it's okay.
So.
It's fine. I'll have to have another gay man on soon. Well, maybe someone that's into fisting. I don't know. But
okay.
Anywho, well, I forgot the original question.
What kind of porn do you
Oh,
enjoy?
Yeah. So I like solo.
Ooh, okay.
Just like, you know, just like
POV
one.
POV stuff maybe or no?
No. Well, no, the POVs actually bugs me.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know. I just don't like the angle. I just
think
it's weird. And if no one knows what POV is, point of view.
I feel like it's a very...
I didn't know what it meant until like a couple years ago.
Oh, no. I was just going to say that like there is POV stuff for straight people too.
Yeah, no, I know.
But it's mostly like it's
it usually
goes
like
back
a girl
male centric thing.
Yeah, it's usually a girl. It's
yeah.
just a girl giving someone head or like getting fucked. So it doesn't even show the guy.
Yes.
Except his
generally.
His dick. Yeah, no, it's stupid. Yeah, so I don't, not.
I mean, that's porn in general, is like a dick and then all of the girl. Like, you never see the dude's face. Unless, I guess, maybe gay porn is different.
Gay porn's different. Okay. You should watch some. Yeah, I like Solo because then I think it's less distracting. You know, like, it's just like one guy, and then you just fantasize the one dude rather than when there's like a bunch of dudes. It's like, oh my God, there's like, there's just too many. Why are there 10 dudes having sex right now?
Right.
That is too much. Mm-hmm. I've had threesomes before that I'm like, holy shit, there's more than like.
Is that fun? I've never.
I've had, I don't know even how many I've had at this point. Not that it's like a shit ton.
Oh my God.
No, not, not that it's like a shit ton, but I'm just saying like. There's been maybe like two or three that were like really good and like actually
and what
like
made it good
that all three of us
were paying attention to each other.
Exactly.
Okay.
Which, I mean, sometimes it's even hard to pay attention to one person having sex.
This is why I don't want to have a threesome.
Yeah. No. Exactly. So and but like and also like because you're a straight woman. I mean, like for you having two guys is probably better than what like another girl.
I haven't really even
considered it.
You haven't
had one, so I don't know. We'll have to report back. That's episode part two.
Yeah.
With Mary from Northwest Orthopedics.
That's my new name.
That's your new trail name. And no one on trail can just call you Mary. It has to be Mary from Northwest Orthopedics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I've had, a few where it's been, like, everyone was, like we're the other, everyone was connected. Like, it was, like, equal. Like, no one was getting left out. There that's nice.
That's probably
but
the truth.
All the other, but then there's other times, it's like someone's like getting paid attention to a little bit more, or it's just like the rhythm's not going well, or someone's bad at giving head and like they're shaving your dick with their teeth, or just like bad at kissing. I don't know. It's hard enough to connect sexually with someone.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, the kissing can be amazing, but like everything else can be kind of boring, or like they don't want to do the things you're into, or they make you feel weird about doing those things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sex should be uninhibited. And if you feel like you're having to like restrain yourself, then you probably shouldn't be having sex with that person.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you really need to get your rocks off, I've been there, but just, I don't know. I don't know. I think I'm at this age now where I'm like, I think sex is really important, but it's starting to take a little bit of a back burner.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, I just want to be loved and, like, be able to, like, give my love back to someone. And if the sex is great, awesome. If it's mediocre, we can work around that if you're, like,
right.
If we have a connection on another level.
Of course.
Because I'm also a man, it's, like, pretty easy for me to, like, do my thing. You know?
Do you mean take care of yourself?
Yeah, or, like, have someone take care of me, you know, like, I mean, like, men are pretty pleased by most things.
Yes, this is true.
Yeah, I know women are a lot more complicated, so.
I wouldn't say complicated, but it's just,
it's hard to find men that will tend to your needs.
Well,
that's what I've heard from a lot of my, you know, my female friends.
In personal experience, it rarely happens the first time, I'll say. There needs to be, like, depth of the emotional connection, and then me feeling comfortable enough to tell somebody what I like, which doesn't normally happen the first time around, because I don't know.
Yeah,
it's just the newness of it is tricky.
Well, also you don't want to feel, I don't know. You don't want to like say what you're into on your first date or the first time you're having sex, because then it's like, what if they're like, oh, that's weird.
Right.
Or
happened before.
Or not that's weird. But I know. Exactly. Yeah. Or I'm not into that. So, like, don't. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean.
Definitely.
If I was on a first date and someone's like, I'm really into, like, playing with feces, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to see you later.
Right.
Bye. You need help.
Yeah.
I feel like there are limits. Like, I have friends that are really into, like, piss play. And
water sports?
Like water sports, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not my thing. But that's okay. But like when you start getting into shit, I'm like, what went wrong in
Who
your life?
Hurt you.
Yeah, like what happened in your life that you need to eat someone else's shit?
Yeah, I don't know. I want to believe that it's like a power thing more than like a physical enjoyment thing, but I also don't want to shame anyone for their kink. So, like, if that makes you happy, good for you, good not for you. Me.
If anyone is into eating shit, come on the podcast. I'll interview you about it, and I would like to learn more about it.
Let's be open-minded.
I don't want to see it. I'm going to dress you in a snowsuit, and you're going to wear a diaper, but I will hear you out. Until then, I have my bias. shit. Good times. let's see. Have you had any close calls with taking a shit on the trail?
Do you mean like somebody catching me or me almost shitting my pants?
Let's try both.
So there was one time somebody caught me with my pants down, but it was another woman. So I was like, this is chill.
Yeah.
And I've never almost shit my pants, but I frequently almost pee myself because I do this thing where I hike until it's like emergency pee status.
Yeah.
And then I'll just pee like literally right next to the trail and be like, I hope nobody comes. And nobody's caught me peeing yet. So that's good.
Whatever. If you're just peeing, it's whatever.
Right.
After like being on the trail too, I'm like, if someone were to walk up on me shitting, I'd be like, hey, maybe. And I think if I would have that reaction if I saw someone shitting, I'd be like, oh, sorry.
Yeah. Oops.
Hope everything comes out all right.
Right.
I like wouldn't even care because it's just like, well, we got to do this.
Right. You know? And there have been times where I'll be in town and I really need to pee and I'm like about to wander outside. And I'm like, oh, wait, I need to do this in like a bathroom.
Yeah.
Like the world isn't my toilet anymore. I forgot I'm staying in a hotel. How weird.
Have you had any close calls, like shitting, like almost shitting your pants?
No,
that's
thankfully.
Good. I had a couple close calls.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
once right out of Big Bear. It's like 9 miles in, and luckily we were just getting to our campsite. But I wasn't able to make it that far off trail, and I'm pretty sure a hiker might have seen me because they were up on a ridge, and I was like down in the bushes, and. I had a feeling that I feel like we made eye contact, mm-hmm. but at that point I really didn't care. I was just like, whatever.
Have you ever had to do the thing where you shit and then you dig a hole because it was an emergency? Like you didn't have time to get your trowel out and dig a
no.
cat
I mean, that one was really bad. I was like clenching my ass cheeks as I was digging mm-hmm. my hole. I could have dug it a little bit deeper, but I did. I guess that was like halfway. I had to like dig some more dirt up afterward. And like, I made a bigger hill so people like knew.
Right.
Like, but it was like still like in a corner of these two bushes where mm-hmm. like the only reason you'd walk over there is take a shit. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And then I'd always put like a little X over it with some sticks.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't do that.
Oh. It was nice. I feel like it's nice. People know the X, I think.
Maybe.
Or maybe it's like, I mean, buried treasure.
I've
X marks the spot.
I've never accidentally dug up anyone else's shit. So.
Oh my God.
Good.
I don't know if I told you this story.
Did you?
This is a funny story. My first minutes on trail, we weren't even hiking yet. At the terminus, the southern terminus, both me and my friend Andrew, who is my old roommate, we started the trail together, as well as Kathleen. We had got to the terminus at like 4:30, 4:45 in the morning, took an Uber from San Diego.
Wow.
We got there. We're waiting for the sun to rise, so we could take our photos together. And Andrew's like, fuck, I gotta take a shit. And I was like, okay, well, you hurry, because I gotta take a shit too. And we had just gotten to the trail.
Oh,
I'm like,
goodness.
I already have to shit in the woods. This sucks. Like, I knew I was gonna have to shit in the woods, but I was like, really? Could have waited like a couple days. So Andrew goes to take a shit and he comes back. He's like, oh, he's like freaking out. He didn't have a trowel, so he dug up with his hands.
Oh my no.
And dug up another hiker's shit and like got another hiker's shit.
Oh, welcome to trail, bitch.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I said. I literally was verbatim like, welcome to trail, bitch. And he wrote that in the logbook, which
That's
is super
so
funny.
Silly.
But I was and he was sick like 3 days later. So
oh, gross.
Yeah, but I was like, that is fucking foul.
Oh, no.
I don't know. Yeah.
No, thank you. I really have to pee.
Okay, good. Take a pee break.
Burb.
And we're back. oh, my God. We're going to die.
Oh, my gosh. Nope.
Jesus Christ.
That was a beer emergency, but it's fine.
Beer emergency. Okay, let me take a little Insta video real quick. Recording podcast with my friend from the trail.
That's
Miss
me.
Miss Spidey.
Ding. Do you remember when you had me read that Cheryl Strayed quote from Old Station?
Yeah, it was stupid.
It's pretty hysterical.
I can't remember what it was. It was something dumb.
It was one of those classic.
Oh, yeah, we need
like
to talk about Cheryl Strayed. Oh, yeah. But what if we want to have her on the show eventually? She would never do that.
We can talk about her or we cannot talk
about
her.
Well, I mean, Scissors knows her really well now, so we can just contact Scissors and have her be like, hey, get Cheryl.
Get Cheryl.
She shared your post or something, or I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're obviously best friends, so.
Clearly.
JK. Yeah, it's funny how she got, I don't know, so much fame.
Which one?
Cheryl.
Yes. Okay.
Cheryl.
Uh-huh.
From, yeah, she's a great writer, probably. I never read the book. The movie was good.
So I did read the book, and I didn't watch the movie. And I didn't love the book. And that's a pretty common theme amongst people who actually hike the PCT nowadays, I would say. I'm not unique.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about this?
Fuck yeah. What time is it?
I don't know.
Oh, 4:30? Oh, we got plenty of time.
Okay. So a lot of people talk about this thing they'll call the wild effect, which is this idea that more people are hiking the trail now that the book and or movie has come out, that mm-hmm. Cheryl Strayed somehow has created this like phenomenon that has made the PCT more popular. And I think it's kind of a ridiculous claim, personally. I think that long-distance hiking is just getting more popular on its own. But because of that, there is a lot of pressure on the book and the movie to represent the trail authentically. So people are very critical of it. And I honestly can see both sides of it. Like, on one hand, it's like, she doesn't have the obligation to represent the whole trail community. How could you ever ask that of one person?
Yeah.
And on the other hand, I just find it frustrating because it's what I have taken to calling the nice white lady eat, pray, love effect.
Eat, pray, queef.
Yeah, sure, that. Which is basically the idea that, like, the only reason anybody even cares about Cheryl Strayed's story is because she's a nice white lady who happens to, you know, be articulate and or know enough people that her book became popular and she was able to turn it into a movie that starred Reese Witherspoon. When there are tons and tons of amazing people who've done the trail, who have blogs, who have their mm-hmm. own stories to tell, but we'll never hear about them because they're not nice white ladies. Or just because they didn't have the influence or whatever you might want to call yeah. it to make their story as well known. So I find that quite frustrating.
Totally. Whereas, I mean, you said this the other day, if it happened to be a black woman going through the same things where she was getting gangbanged at work behind, like, in the alley on a
dating
dumpster.
Dating a heroin addict.
Yeah, exactly. And then did the same exact thing.
Right.
It exactly. wouldn't be well received.
No, she made a lot of self-destructive choices, which is fine, but
we all do, yeah, we all do. And like,
right, to glorify that as, like, the representation of trail life to people who will never hike or
yeah
otherwise seems a little bit
yeah
too forgiving in my opinion or whatever.
Yeah, I will say there was a lot more racial diversity on the trail this year than I thought.
Really?
There was gonna be. I mean, obviously, yeah, it's a lot of white dudes with man buns and beards that live in Portland. But I find there was more racial diversity than I had expected.
And I think that's good, but I think it also alludes to the fact that when we think about people in the outdoors, we automatically assume whiteness.
No, of course.
Which is something that weighs heavy to me and something that I want to participate in changing once I come off trail, I think.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I think it will change because the more, it's like anything, like the more people that come out as transgender, will inspire, you know, those younger right. them or those that are scared to do it to do that. It's like it's why like being gay is more widely accepted now, because in the last 20 years people just started coming out. Look at Ellen DeGeneres
right.
when she came out 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it inspired all these other actors to start just being like, "Hey, I'm gay and it doesn't matter. I right. can still play whatever fucking part I want."
Of course.
And it's and I think and maybe that's a weird way to compare it. But I think it is like you know, being a Chinese woman and going and hiking the trail and not making it like, "I'm a Chinese woman and I'm hiking the trail."
Right.
It just means like it's everyone's fucking trail.
Right.
It's not a white man's trail.
Of course.
It's everyone's trail.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone should just do it if they want to do it. Doesn't matter what the fuck you look like. Go out and experience it.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I think everyone should experience it. You don't have to do the whole fucking thing. I didn't even do as much as Cheryl Strayed.
Mm-hmm.
I probably shouldn't even be talking.
Oh, shush.
You know what I mean? But everyone should experience it. Have that time to just sit and think and experience something so grueling but so magnificent.
Right. And I think it's...
I want to go back. I honestly want to go back in the next year or two and start from where I left off and see how much more I can do.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think a lot of people who have participated in a thru hike will say that it changed their life. And
yeah.
I'm definitely a part of that. So
yeah, I mean, I was only out there for 2 months and I feel like it changed.
Only 2 months. Don't be silly. That's a long ass time.
And maybe, and like, I don't know, maybe that's like a thru hiker's mentality is
right.
like... I have all these other friends that are still on trail and are going to do the entire thing and have done, like, you've already done double than me. And I'm like, I think I say that is because, like, I know I could have done more.
Okay.
But at that point, I didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking so much, like, I need to go back to my life in Portland. I have so many other projects I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy. I'm actually very happy with my decision.
Right.
In the fact that I also now know that I miss the trail and I want to go back eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I can go back whenever I want. I know I can just up and leave and go. And that is the most like liberating thing I've ever experienced in my life. Knowing that I can just be like, "Hey, I'm going to take this year off from making money and putting up with people's bullshit just to go focus on myself and do what I want."
Right.
That has been like the most like amazing thing I've ever learned about myself
mm-hmm.
or about life. That if I want to do it, I can go do it.
Right.
So it's funny to me, like, when I tell people I've done it or, like, I talk to people about it, they're like, "I could never do that." I'm like, the thing is, you can.
Of course.
I've met, and you can't say, "Oh, I'm married. I can't." And, like, no, I've met plenty of my friends on trail were married.
Mm-hmm.
And their spouses amazingly embraced that part of them and said, "Yeah, go. Go, like, do this for yourself." And I think that's incredible.
Right.
The people on trail that are married and, like, have, you know, these people have... their partner and just embrace that part of them. I think that's awesome.
It is. It definitely is. I think that, I mean, this is one thing I've realized a lot having traveled a good amount this past year, but as Americans, we are workaholics. We love making excuses for why our time doesn't belong to us.
Yeah.
I have a job. I have a wife. I have kids. I have a mortgage. I have bills, blah, 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 blah. And the truth is, if something's really a priority for you, you'll make it happen.
Yeah,
and
totally.
But like, only a few of us have figured that out.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, it's good to liberate yourself from that workaholic mentality, I would say.
Totally. Mm-hmm. I think it just circles back to what we were talking about dating, where it's like, "Oh, I'm too busy right now with work to, like, make time for you." It's like, well, you make time to, like, sit at home and watch Game of Thrones, or you make time to go out to the bar every weekend with
yep.
your friends,
mm-hmm.
or you make time to do this. Why can't you reserve that time? One of those times for me.
Right. And then that answers your question, right? Then you're not a priority.
Exactly.
And then it doesn't matter anymore.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. And I get like not being a priority in the beginning stages of like dating someone, but if you want to be with someone, you're going to be with them.
Right. Yeah,
or
I don't know.
You're going to make it a priority.
I'm a little bit less forgiving for people of people who don't make time anymore because
I'm the same way.
Yeah,
and that's and that's the love language I express through my friendships
mm-hmm.
is spending time with me is the best way to show that you care about me.
Yep.
That's how I feel like I'm really good at doing that with my friendships, being like, "Oh, you know what? I haven't seen you in a couple weeks. I will absolutely have dinner with you or just get coffee with you before work or
right.
come spend an hour with you to do whatever you want just because I haven't seen you. And, like, I need you to know that, yeah, I'm still your friend and I still care about you.
Uh-huh.
That's how I express my love language with friendships. And that's how I feel it, too.
I think it's a part of just, like, not only that, but it's part of getting older and being respectful of, like, other people's time as well, if that makes sense. I don't know. I'm the kind of person where I'm very lucky to have friends who live all over. And so I don't necessarily have a lot of friends who I'm, like, talking to on a daily basis or even a weekly basis. But for me, what really is valuable is if I can, like, pick up the phone and call you and I haven't seen you in 6 months and you want me to come over and we have this great conversation. It's like nothing's changed. That to me is, like, the kind of human connection that I want to pursue.
Some of my best friends I literally talk to once every 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
Maybe longer. Mm-hmm. Like, one of my best friends from high school, Katie, she called me. And that's the thing I really love about her, too. She always calls me.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, never, like, hey, like, how you doing? It's just she'll call me, and it's always for something. Like, she has to tell me a funny story or something happened or whatever. Like, but anyway, she called me probably, like, a few weeks ago. And her grandfather just passed away. Like, I'm not going to say how. But he just recently passed away. And she just graduated. And
College,
yeah. My BFF from high school.
Could be.
She's still in high school. No, so she just graduated. And she wanted, she has these pictures with him from, you know, her graduation that just happened, you know, a couple weeks prior to this incident of him passing. And she's just like, hey, like, I really need these pictures done up a little bit better. Like, if you just edit them. And I was like, yeah, of course I'll do it. And we hadn't talked in months and months.
Right.
And I love that, like, she would just call me for a favor. Like, and just, you know, just to say, hey, I need this real quick. And I'm like, yeah, of course I'll do it for you.
Yeah.
And I love those kind of friendships because I know if I ever had something, be like, hey, Katie, I need this for you. Like, I don't know what I need, but, like, it's nice to know that there's someone there that I don't need to talk to every fucking day.
Yeah.
Or once a week to, like, know that they're going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we've been out of high school 12 years. So 12 years later.
Yeah.
It's I love friendships like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It makes the world feel a lot smaller. And I think it is a mark of maturity when you have a relationship with somebody. You don't need to, like, babysit it or, like, keep watering it, if that makes sense. Like, you don't need to keep you don't need to treat it as a responsibility. It's just, like, it's there, it's solid, it's love, it's not something you have to think about too much. That is so important to me. That's the only way. That's the way I live my life. I move around too much to, like, be the person who can see you every week, unfortunately. So these are the people I keep around.
Totally.
For sure.
And I love those. I love making friends randomly and, like, still keeping in touch years later. Like, even if we don't live in the same town.
Oh, yeah.
It's just nice to know that you can make genuine connections and, like, still want to, like, keep those friendships. And so I'm really excited to see how it is a few years down the line with, like, trail friends.
Oh, too. My gosh. It'll be so interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sure there are people where, like, you'll just show up in a city and you'll be like, oh, my gosh, I forgot that Mountain lives here. Let me call him up and see what's up. And
what's up?
It'll be like nothing ever changed. Totally. Time never passed.
Yeah, and you have so many stories and funny memories and the stupid people you hated on trail you can talk about. It's great.
Yep.
Yeah. If I didn't have a job, I'd just leave with you.
Hike Washington.
I know.
Maybe buy a rain jacket though first, because it looks a little.
Yeah, cool. I've been watching Furball's stories. I'm like, damn, girl.
Yep.
What have you learned the most from being on the trail?
Everything is temporary. The good days, temporary. The bad days, temporary. The people in your life, unfortunately, temporary.
Mm-hmm.
but it's like a prolonged exercise in gratitude and letting go, which I think everybody needs, because in a lot of ways that's just what it is to be alive. Like, nothing is permanent.
Yeah.
Not even the people you love. Like, they won't be there forever, as morbid or sad as that sounds. But being able to make peace with that and continuing to be happy and fostering a sense of independence still makes life worth living. That's what it's been for me. I think especially because when I started the trail, everything so seemed so magical.
Yeah.
With the people around me and everything. Like I said, I fell in love in all of these crazy experiences of trail magic and everything. And then I found myself hiking alone, and it was just like this hugely stark contrast where I was lonely and everything. But I was like, that's fine. Like, every day is a new day. I meet new people. I like them. I don't like them. Whatever. Going with the flow has been truer for me on trail than at any other experience in my life. Mm. And so for me, it's just fostering this sense of like, just being grateful to be alive and taking the punches as they come.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
What about you? What is something that, like, you still
This podcast
think about?
Is not about me. No, just kidding.
Oh, stop it.
It is about me.
Of course.
It's always about me.
It's always about you.
My family's going to listen to this and be like, yeah. Sorry, what were you going to ask me, though? I forgot.
Just the same question. Like, what's something that, like, really resonated with you on trail that you still reflect upon?
I have a few. So what I would think about a lot is kind of my things I've learned and, like, their juxtaposition. So the good and the bad.
Ooh.
So what I learned in the not saying it's bad, but something I find maybe might be a negative trait or something that used to be or something that I want to work on is that I can be very codependent on people to feel security and happiness. And not just in, like, a relationship sense, just, like, in a people sense. Because I am very, you know me, I'm very outgoing and very extroverted, and I like to be social. But that's one thing I learned on the trail was, like, I don't need to be social all the time. I don't need to camp with people all the time. I camped 5 nights alone on the trail, which is kind of a lot more than a lot of other people. From what I've talked, you know, talking to other people is a lot more than they have. Two of those nights I didn't want to, and I cried like a baby because I was terrified, really? And I was also having a really shitty day. But the other 3 times, there was like a nice sunset, and I was like, well, I don't want to hike while I'm watching the sunset, so I'm just going to set up right here and eat my food and play some Explosions in the Sky and just
Perfect.
Watch this sunset and just revel in this moment that no one else gets to experience right here at this spot right now. There was another night I was just kind of in a bad mood, and I had already camped alone 3 nights, so I just said, fuck it, I'm gonna keep hiking until there's a good little spot where I can set up by myself and not have to talk to anyone tonight and just make my dinner and chill in my tent and do whatever and edit photos and do whatever I want. And that for me was a really beautiful thing to realize, is that I don't actually need people to feel happy, but I want people to feel happy.
Mm-hmm.
I love my friendships. I love my family. You know, I love the people in my life, and it's okay to feel that. It's okay to feel like that, but I know I don't need that to feel security.
Right.
But that was a realization, is that I could be too codependent on people. Mm-hmm. Coming back to what we were talking about earlier about, like, spending time with me is how I feel the most loved.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not receiving that, I feel like, oh, they hate me. They don't want me in their life. When really it's like, I know people get busy. People have their jobs. They have their relationships. And some people just don't have those time management skills or think about it, which I totally understand. Everyone's different. Other things I realized on the other side was that I feel, coming back, I know more now I'm like a more confident person, and I feel like I have a lot of love to give other people, and that I need to express that more. And I need to be more kind of upfront with my feelings in kind of even with friendships, whatever, is just be more upfront and more honest. And more importantly, be honest with those feelings for myself. I never cried more than I did in my life than I did on trail. And over stupid things, you know, it was too hot and I was hiking uphill, you know, or just having hard days, and and now I look back and I'm like, such a stupid thing to cry over. But also those times you're thinking about all these other things in your life while it's hot, while you're carrying 40 pounds on your back, while you're hiking up, you know, 3,000 feet of elevation within like 2 miles or whatever. And everything just comes down on you and weighs down on you, and you just break down at this like feeble little person. And it's crazy how that is kind of just like a really like magical moment, is when you get to your tent at the end of the day and you reflect back on like, God, that sucked. But it was nice to think about that thing I needed to think about. I went on a tangent here. but yeah, I think that the biggest thing I learned that, on the more like positive side of the spectrum is just to like be more in tune with my feelings and express them more when I feel them. Because if someone doesn't like it, fuck them.
Yeah.
And also within myself, cry when you need to. Listen to those feelings, and as gay as it sounds, listen to your heart.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm so there with you, like. I've always been a more emotional person, and I think that I deal with it in one of two ways. One, I harden myself around other people. Like, I just put this shell on and, like, am maybe sometimes bitchy as a way to hide my vulnerability and protect myself. I know. It's like, right, so classic, here. Right? It's not. Right, it's here. So unoriginal.
Totally. I know, exactly. It's like, what? I think that's why we get along so well.
Right. And the other thing is to just, like, come off as too emotional. And on trail, I was definitely, like, that shell fucking disappeared. Because I wasn't even trying to, but it just happened. I lived this, like, raw version of myself where the idea of hiding it or apologizing for it just, like, wasn't a thing that I would even consider doing.
Yeah.
Which is another reason why I think that I was so enamored with the trail, as well as the people that I was meeting, because I was like, this is the truest version of myself. Yeah. Like, I never
take me
let
as
this
I am.
Go. Yeah. And like, partly why, like, my connection with Zorro was, like, so fucking, like, visceral to me. It was like, this is it. This means something. This is totally me, and, like, he gets it, and this is working, and blah, 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 blah. So I totally get I want to be that person off trail too. Like, I want to be this, like, pulsing raw person who, like, experiences life in all of these emotions and colors, but it's not always
feasible. Off trail, people aren't going to understand that as much.
Right. I would
and
seem
that's
like a
what
crazy, like,
I'm learning
emotional person
with dating, because I have been dating since I got back.
Ooh,
and it's not that great. Yeah, don't high five me until I actually have a fucking boyfriend. But that's what I'm learning, is I want to be upfront and honest about everything I feel, whether I think it's too soon or whatever, you know, because there's all these like rules for dating or something. I don't know. Fuck the fucking rules, right? I don't have time for the rules. And it's just like, the people don't understand it. I just spent 2 months, being the most stripped down version of myself. Mm-hmm. And that is one thing too. If you're that kind of person where on trail where you're like, oh, well, I can handle this. I'm not going to cry or show emotion. People see right through it out there. People are like, what's their fucking problem? They can't like, why are they like this all the time? Mm-hmm. Like, there's gotta be something there that's going to break them. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's a few people I met out there that were kind of like that. I'm not going to say names, obviously. But that it's, I don't know, it's so important in everyday life to just be like, this is me. I'm going to be upfront about how I feel. Even if it, you know, even if it is on social media. Because sometimes, and I know it looks whiny on social media, but at the same time, I think if you are a genuine person, there is a lot of beauty that comes from being upfront and open. Like
radical
we were
honesty.
Huh?
Always.
Yeah, exactly. And I know it's hard, you know? I know it's hard to look vulnerable, and especially with people you don't know as well, but in the end, it just makes you feel so much better to know, like, well, at least I was honest with myself.
Exactly.
Rather than like trying to make you like me by hiding an emotion I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm. I can't nod my head hard enough.
Yeah, right? Might have to edit that out. It might like hurt our listeners' ears. No one's going to listen to this.
No, but they'll feel it, right? It'll be like the thumping of your forehead on the microphone.
Boom,
they'll be like,
boom,
I get it.
Boom. That was my dick, actually.
Ooh.
Hey, ooh, let's try that later. Just kidding. That's me. I got a quick whiff and I was like, oh, he's on her backpack. And it was actually just my armpit.
Yeah.
That's fine. Should we do a closing topic Tupperware?
Sure.
And that's really fun.
You just like the alliteration.
I know, topic Tupperware. You made that up. I'm going to give you credit on every episode for
You're
that.
You're welcome.
White privilege, white privilege.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
That was mine also. Did you ever watch Sex and the City?
I did.
I hated her on that show.
Yeah, she's whiny.
I like her.
Incredibly self-centered.
Oh, God.
Why am I feeling this way?
Yeah, no, she's fucking dumb. I liked Miranda.
Miranda was a bitch who got shit done.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Miranda was my jam. I love Samantha, too.
Yep.
Charlotte, little whiny, but cute.
Mm-hmm.
But Carrie, I was
Carrie
like, why are you
most whiny?
Why are you the main character? You suck.
She's so self-destructive.
She's
in that
so
terribly
stupid.
Unhealthy relationship with Mr. Big.
Oh, I hate him. And Aiden,
ever.
Right?
I know.
Aiden was a babe. I fucking love Aiden.
Uh-huh.
He was the perfect man.
Though.
Yeah,
it's
no,
real.
It's true.
It's
yeah.
Yeah. We can talk about white privilege and Sex in the City.
Oh, right. I know. Where's the diversity there? Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
it also was the 90s, though.
Yeah.
Which is weird that 90s aren't that far away, but look how much has changed in the last 20 years.
With regard to television?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look at I mean, the TV show Friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone on that show is white.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
I mean, yeah, look at most of those 90s shows. Minus the Cosby Show, RIP, career.
I know.
I love the Cosby Show, though.
I can't.
And I love Raven
really
Simone.
Thought.
She was so cute.
Raven was excellent.
Oh, my God. And I actually loved everybody, not everybody loves Raven. Which is also a good show. Everybody loves Raymond. But what was it called? That's So Raven.
That's So Raven.
I love, you're nasty. That was my favorite thing she does. Oh, you're nasty. You're a little nasty. It's my favorite thing ever. She's so cute.
What is she doing?
She came out, too, as lesbian.
Hold up, what?
She came out, like, a few years ago.
That's new.
I love that now. I know. I love that now. There's so many people who are, like, famous that come out that, like, people don't even know. Because they're just...
Right. It's like so it's because unremarkable.
Now, because now it's just like not even a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh.
It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah. So it's not like, oh my God, this person came out. It's just like,
right.
Oh, okay. It's I didn't know they were gay because it's not even a thing anymore.
It's no longer noteworthy. It's just like a human.
Let's
being.
Be honest. Probably about like 60% of people in show business were gay.
Quite possibly.
Quite possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, without the gays, we wouldn't have Broadway.
True.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
I mean...
I don't really watch Broadway.
Okay. I have a...
Someone's going to get mad about that comment.
My best friend, when I was living in Salt Lake City, was a professional ballet dancer. He was a professional ballet dancer. So as you might imagine, many, if not most, of the male ballet dancers in his company are queer.
Yeah, and he was straight.
No, he's queer.
Oh, he's gay. Okay.
And he actually ended up quitting because he couldn't reconcile this thing where this art form, like in the love stories portrayed in the ballets, were so heteronormative, mm-hmm. right? So it would be like a man and a woman dancing together to display a heterosexual relationship, but like he's gay.
Yeah.
And this would happen time and time and time again because ballet is such a traditional art form with all of these like old stories of like men and women being in love, and yet in contemporary ballet or modern times, most of the male ballet dancers are gay.
Yeah.
So it was just like this huge irony.
Yeah, why can you have two dudes dance? Because they probably do some pretty incredible shit.
Oh my gosh, ballet dancers have like the most ridiculous bodies ever.
They're insane.
Yeah. They're so flexible and incredibly strong. But yeah, he was just like sick of that whole scene, so he ended up quitting. And now he's going to move to New York City and pursue some other dreams.
That's awesome.
We'll see what happens.
But I wish I could dance like that.
I mean, you could.
I mean, I can twerk. That's my trail name.
Twerk, 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 twerk.
That's how I got my trail name.
You could do an audio twerk session and put it on your podcast. God.
Just like attach something to my butt that makes noise when they like.
Yes. Or you could do a video.
Ooh, let's do that. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll do that.
Tune in next time.
I know. I should have just started this whole podcast with like, I'm Twerk and this is Boring People.
You should.
I really like my trail name.
It's a great trail name.
Yeah, it really. I love that every time I would tell people my trail name, they would like giggle and then be like, want to know more rather than just like, oh, okay, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like people would always giggle when I told my trail name, and that made me really happy. Like I like that there's like cute. A sense of joy behind my trail name.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's so great.
Yeah. Pretty happy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, oh shit, we've been recording a long time.
A long ass time.
This is great though. Oh my god, we've had woo-hoo! So many good conversations. We talked about Two Girls, One Cup, pigeon sex.
Oh my
sex.
Lord. Why did we pull all of Tommy's categories? I don't know.
You should have written more.
This is valid point.
And I feel we did get slightly on a white privilege topic too, so that's good.
We did.
I win. tell us. Oh Jesus Christ!
Felix is away.
Felix is back. tell us your Instagram handle, or do you have a blog too?
Yeah, they're actually both the same.
Okay.
So my Instagram handle is Cat on Her Feet, Cat with a K. And my blog is catonherfeet.com.
Okay, cool.
I haven't updated it for a long ass while, but maybe I'll try to do that while I'm in Portland.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. And from here, you are hiking north to the Northern Terminus, right?
Yes. I would really like to get to Timberline Lodge so I can eat all of the things. But if that doesn't end up happening, then I am going to hike Washington after the eclipse. It sort of depends on timing. And
yeah. From Timberline, you have about what, 50 miles to Bridge
Cascade
of the Gods?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's about right.
Cool. That's a pretty stretch, too.
I've heard.
And crossing over Bridge of the Gods is pretty magnificent.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
I'm proud of you. You're
Thank
awesome.
Thank you, Twerky.
And I'm so happy we're friends. And
I'm so happy I'm here.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for staying with me.
Oh my gosh, thank you for letting me be
Oh,
here.
Of course. No, it made me so happy when you said you were coming.
Ding!
I know.
Friendships.
I love that I can be a trail angel. And it's like that's the beauty of like getting off trail early and like living in Portland, and like I've had like four trail friends stay with me already.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me happy just like for people to come here and
Oh, of course.
Yeah. And then we get to do podcasts.
And drink beer.
And drink beer. And make dinner soon.
What else could you want in life?
Not much more.
Not much.
All right. Any closing statements?
I don't know. How do you normally do this?
We just kind of like fade it out, and then I'll record something that says, "This was Mary from Northwest Orthopedics."
Thank you, Mary from Northwest Orthopedics, to try to make sure that my insurance goes through.
Mary, if you're listening to this, we want to have you on the podcast and hear all about you.
We want to know
and all about your fisting. I really need to get a fister on this podcast.
A fister?
A fister. I don't know if that's a...
Is that how they identify?
No. No one's... You're not going to go around telling people you're into fisting.
Hi, my name is Mary. I'm a fister.
And with that, we will say goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening, if you are listening. Hopefully the sound quality is a lot better on this one. It's a little trial and error for me. I really have no idea what the fuck I'm doing. I just need something to do. Anyway, if you like the podcast, go on iTunes and leave a review for us. That would be sick. Also, our Instagram handle is @boringpeoplepodcast. And if there's someone you think should be on the podcast, or you have you want to be on the podcast, or I don't know, you just need to contact me for some reason, the email is boringpeoplepdx@gmail.com. Again, thanks to my friend Catherine/Spider for being here. And as always, big thank you to our pal Bodie Pressman for our intro outro music. That song is called Long Rider, and you can download it on iTunes. And you should, because he's amazing. And he'll be on the podcast soon, too. And that's all I got for you today. Bye.